Well, the sermon title certainly gives you some idea of what direction we're going. We're obviously going to be talking about our gospel lesson, at least for the most part. We'll probably talk at least a little bit about some of the other ones, but who likes being pruned? And the short answer, of course, is no one. No one likes being pruned. And as I was telling the children, the first time I encountered pruning, it seemed peculiar to me, and it still kind of does, in this almost magical sort of way that you cut off something to make more of it, because it really doesn't work anywhere else. I mean, if you have a piece of string that's only 4 feet long and you need 5 feet, you don't cut a few inches off the end to make it longer. But plants are different. Plants do this strange kind of thing that makes them such a good metaphor for us, in that they end up going in places that make everything actually worse rather than better. And if you can address what's making things worse, then things become better. And when it comes right down to it, pruning is actually good for both the plant and the person who's doing the pruning. You get more flowers, you get more fruit, whatever it might be. Pruning is one of those things that actually turns out to be pretty good. But I've never been a plant. I've never been able to be inside the life of a plant. I don't think anybody has. I don't know if plants have nerves the same way we do. Being pruned as a plant can't be the most pleasant thing possible, can it? Part of it's gone. So how does that relate to us? Well, this is one of those passages of Scripture that is pretty straightforward. I think that most of us have a pretty good idea what's going on here. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, what does this have to say for us today? And one of the things that struck me in a way that never had before was, what's a branch? Or who is a branch? And I grew up in a church that was quite focused on your individual responsibility and your individual response to God, and that, of course, are both very important. But it never struck me that this image of the vine doesn't suddenly pop up in John 15 for the first time ever. It's actually in the Old Testament quite a lot. Pretty much every time you encounter it in the Old Testament, the vine isn't a person. The vine is the nation of Israel. And it struck me for the first time, and if this is all old news to you, well, just goes to show that everybody knows something more than somebody else, and that's just one of the delightful parts of the world. It never crossed my mind that this also is directed not just at individuals, but also in a more corporate sense. And I began to think, well, what could that mean? Well, first of all, we'll take a bit of a step back and we'll remind ourselves briefly that the only part of a plant that gets pruned is the part that's alive. You don't prune the parts that have fallen onto the ground. Nobody picks up a dead branch and prunes it. My grandson picks up a dead branch because that's what grandkids do. Swings it around until it gets smaller and smaller. We're out for a short walk and had this stick that had been obviously out over the winter, so it had gotten quite brittle, and eventually it got down to, it was about, oh, I don't know, 2 feet long or so. So it was about the size of a walking stick for a three-year-old. So I said, oh, there, you have a walking stick, just like Grandpa. He said, no, like Grandma. That's his great-mother, your great-grandmother, who has one of those walking sticks with the little four prongs in the bottom, so it stands up. And I looked at the bottom of the stick, and sure enough, it had several prongs. Proving once again that you can learn something from anybody. A stick with prongs is more like my stepmom's stick than mine, which is pretty plain. But people don't prune those kinds of things. They just do other things with them. And so I was reminded again that when pruning happens, it only happens to the branches that are attached. And I point that out not just because it's obvious, but because sometimes we get this feeling that, well, are we really attached? Are these bad things, because that's what I tend to look at pruning as, or are these bad things happening because I'm just nothing? And the answer is no. Pruning only happens to living parts of the plant that need to be made better somehow. And it's the same for groups of people as it is for individuals. Communities of faith, local congregations, presbyteries, even all the way up to denominations and beyond, can be pruned as well. Because pruning is when we move, when something happens because we've moved in a direction that isn't helpful for us. The church that I grew up in, which I've spoken often of, and hopefully mostly positively, because did good things for me, even if it had flaws, like every church. But the church I grew up in had a catastrophic fire. One of those, some wiring went haywire somewhere, and it burned not quite to the ground because it was mostly brick, but all the stuff that wasn't brick, well, it was gone. If you talk to people who lived through that experience and stuck around, because not everybody did. I mean, some people left. They didn't want to attend a church that caught fire, I suppose, or they didn't like meeting outside, because that's what we did for a while, because it was in the summertime, and we had a big parking lot, so we just had church outside till we cleaned up what eventually became the gymnasium enough so we could meet in there again. Some people didn't want to do that, so they moved on, but lots stayed. And if you talk to those people, I suspect you'll find a very similar kind of story, that this isn't something they ever would have chosen. They never would have asked God to set fire to their church. But they saw things that came out of that, not just in themselves, but in the larger picture of that community of faith, that probably wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for the fire. And it doesn't mean that God couldn't have done the same thing in other ways, but this is the way that it happened. This is what God chose for that congregation. And it made it better in some ways that were really significant, really important. And I don't know for certain, because I was young then, I certainly wasn't part of the ins and outs of the congregation the way the sort of older people tend to be. But I wonder, was that pruning? I don't know if you've ever been in a church, but there are churches out there where the whole point of church is to make sure that you have enough people sitting there to give enough money so you can keep the building going, so next Sunday there will be enough people sitting there to give enough money to keep the building going. It's odd. It's not a comfortable place, at least for me, to go and worship. It seems to me that these people have lost sight of what's happening and why they have a church building at all. I wonder if my congregation back then was maybe moving in that direction. I don't know for sure, but we certainly weren't after that. Because what we saw after that was that the church was the people. One of those reminders that we need often, that the building was just a place where the church got together. Because we got together quite nicely in a parking lot. And then in a gymnasium. Then eventually back into a purpose-built place for worship. But for anyone who lived through that, they're never going to just look at a church building and say, that's really important. Without one of those, church just doesn't happen. Because they knew it didn't. It didn't matter where you were. The people mattered. And it changed that church, and I think it made it better. It's pruning. Pleasant? No, not at all. Worthwhile? Yes. And it does happen to individual people. We do have those moments when, hardly ever at the time, but often in retrospect, we look back and say, ah, I see. That unpleasant experience, whatever it was, because I've never had a pleasant pruning experience, I don't think they exist, but maybe they do, but not for me. You look back on that experience and say, okay, from that experience came these things that I don't want to give up. These things of value, new understandings about myself or other people, new values overall, all of these things that I now have that are really significant, really important, and I believe move me closer to the person God created me to be, wouldn't be here without that thing, whatever it was. In my case, it was a personal fire. A house fire did a lot of those for me. For many of us, it's the loss of someone we love. And we would never choose those things, never. But once they've happened and we've lived through them and we look at some of the outcomes, we say, I'm not glad that happened, but I'm glad for what I have now. Sometimes the pruning's a little more obvious. Sometimes it's a habit that really we shouldn't have in the first place and really needs to be snipped off. It's not just a flower that has finished its flowering. This is just something that's gone wrong. And we don't like that kind of pruning either. But when we look back, we say, that painful experience of having that really obnoxious habit of mine pointed out to me by enough people that I finally started to listen and did something about it, has resulted in me being a better person. And I've let people speak truth into my life, which might make them better people too. Trust their own intuition, trust their own ability to speak wisdom to people. All kinds of good things came out of that painful experience for me. And I'm better for it. That's what pruning is. Pruning isn't cutting off parts just because they're there. That's why I don't prune things. I don't know what should come off. Who knows what I'd cut off if I started pruning plants? But people who know what they're doing know exactly what it is. And for those of us on the outside, sometimes it's hard for us to tell. Like, why are you taking that flower off? It looks fine. Mother would say, well, it's finished. And if I take it off now, the plant won't be diverting energy and nutrients to something that has no purpose now. And the plant will be better off. If we were being pruned, to push the metaphor perhaps as far as it can go, and maybe even too far, I don't know, but if we were being pruned by someone whose only interest was what we could do, if we were being pruned so that we would have a higher fruitfulness measure as a fruitfulness unit, I don't think I would tolerate being pruned all that terribly well. If the pruning that we got from God was only so we were more useful, and that was the only point, and for that matter, our only point was how we could be useful, I don't think pruning would be something I would ever look back on and say value came from that. But one of the things that we get from our epistle reading is this reminder, and it's a good reminder for me, and maybe it's a reminder you need as well, that this all comes from love. That pruning comes from a God who loves us, full stop. Because God doesn't love us for our usefulness, or because we're useful, because God loved us before we were useful. God loved us before we were. The God who brings these experiences and people into our lives, who prune us in one way or another, is doing so because he loves us, and he loves us too much to let us stay where we are. That's an unpleasant and terrible kind of thing to think about, isn't it? Or at least it was for me. Because really, when it came right down to it, I wanted a God who loved me just enough to leave me exactly where I was, only slightly more comfortable. I don't think that's unique to me. But God does love us that much. God loves us so much, and God can see where we can go, and God can see the difference we can make. And even more than that, God can see how satisfied and fulfilled that makes us. He says it's going to be worth it. You might not believe it now, but it will be. Because that's what pruning does. It takes us from where we are and lets us go to some place that's better. Frequently, our difficulty with pruning and with lots of other things in our lives is that our measure is so short. It's so short. You know, we look at the toddlers in our lives, or all the way up to the teenagers in our lives, and how often do you find yourself saying to them, well, just wait. Just wait. Supper is coming, I promise. And you asking for French fries every 3 seconds won't make them come any faster. It'll just wear out your voice and probably make the rest of us a little crabby. How often does God look to us and say, just wait? In the middle of pruning, it's pretty hard to see anything other than that. And that's okay. That's what being human's about. We don't like pain. And I don't think we have to like pain. I've read John 15 more than once. I don't know how many times I've read John 15, but it's a lot. I don't see anywhere in there where it says you should be happy about being pruned. That the process of being pruned should be pleasing to you. It's not even suggested because, of course it's not. Pruning almost always involves some kind of pain. And the fact that it's worth it on the other end, it's just like working out, it's just like getting in shape, suffering through training to get to be good at something. It doesn't mean you like the suffering, this is what you do to get where you want to go. That's what pruning is for us. We don't have to rejoice in the fire that burns up our church. We don't have to rejoice in the person that we lost in the prime of life. We don't have to rejoice at a bus crash that takes out a hockey team. And we shouldn't. But we can look at that and say, it's not impossible that God will bring things from that that are extraordinary. Because God has done that before. He's done it in my life. I suspect he's done it in your life. Where profoundly horrible things, those inescapable reminders that we live in a fallen world, are turned into something extraordinary. It's way too soon for us to think about what happened to the Humboldt Broncos and say, oh, there's the goodness, and there's some of it we may never see. And I don't know that that was pruning for anyone. It's another example. At least it's potentially another example of how God takes the evil that happens in this world for reasons we don't understand. We still don't get why God lets it happen. We still don't understand how choice and fallenness and love and all of these things work together. But what we see is that God brings good out of what we call bad, always. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Problem of Pain, says that God whispers to us in our pleasure and shouts to us in our pain. Sometimes we don't hear whispers. We're just too busy. Sometimes the people who love us have to shout to get our attention. Sometimes God does it through painful things. Pruning is just one aspect of what it means to live in this fallen world. Some of these things that happen, I don't know if they're pruning or not. But I know that no matter what, God loves us enough to not leave us where we are. And whatever happens to us happens against that backdrop of God's unrelenting love for us, his limitless love for us. We may not like being pruned. Okay, we do not like being pruned. But we probably like being fruitful enough to put up with it. We don't always see where it's going. We don't see what the fruitfulness is going to look like. But I think when we have this intuition, when we have this understanding that what's happening isn't just random, but it's part of that process of moving us to the next level of becoming who we should be. We won't like it. But we'll go through it with a different sense when we say, this could be part of what's making me into the next step, taking me to the next step, making me more and more into the person I was created to be so that I can make the difference that only I can make. Amen.